Morning, we have Masechet Bechor Tavav. We're at the top of the Amud. We ended off yesterday at the second line there. Very quickly, we're discussing in the Mishnah mentioned that a para that gave birth to like a donkey, or a donkey that gave birth to a horse looking type of animal, which was part from a Bechor, because of Peter Chamor was written twice, Peter Chamor. And then we said that, and we got another Makor for that. To the Petra Chamor, Petra, we had Bechor Shor, Bechor Se, Bechor Ez. Then the Pasuk mentioned each one Bechor. And so Yosef Aglidi was the one that said that was the Makor, that the Bechor and the mother have to be and the father have to be the same. As we discussed, what do each one do with the other? How does one learn Petra, Petra, one learn Bechor, Bechor? And we ended up by saying, we came to the bottom over here, that we might have thought that we patur from, what about horses and camels? And we said, no, you patur because of Petra twice. And the group basically brought a bit of a bright, we went around and around. We said, Petra says, we're going to hold our, maybe you should still be chayev in Petra of a Bechor, of a camel and a horse, or any other type of tamei animal, but not with a seh. And that's why we said over here, Petra Chamor twice, to tell us that at all. That's what ended up yesterday. Basically, that was the idea of the Peter Peter. The Gemara now brings a kasha here. Parich Avachai. If you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, Matkif la Rav Acha. See that? So Rashi didn't learn Achai. Remember, we saw the other day on, I think, Daf Hay there was. We had that as well. Achai. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but there was a note that Rav Achai could have been a Gaon, which came at the time of Ashi and Ravina, and he wasn't an Amora, right? So we see here that could have been Rav Achai, although there is a machloka that Rav Achai might be an Amora as well. But nonetheless, Rashi is here telling us this is Rav Acha, it was an Amora, not even a question if it was Achai the Gaon or not. So the Gemara is like, Rav Achai's got a Kasha. Ikata Rachman Echad. If the Torah just wrote once, Peter, Chamor, once. But he's coming and saying, I'm accepting your answer that we just gave now, that Peter, Chamor, twice, was the proof that we don't do Peter, Bechor, at all, of the Gamal, also the other Tama animals. He says like this. He says, if I only wrote Peter, Chamor, once, so what would I have said? Have I mina, davar shia bichlal, biyatza mina klal, Lilamed, lo lamed latzmo yatzel, lamed laklal kulo yatzel. We've known this limit from before, right? What's the example of here? Rashi says here. Look at Rashi. The third wide lines of Rashi at the top. Hatar vayu trichi. We need the two. We can't learn from your twice that Peter Chamor is mentioned here what you want to tell me that therefore we patur from Bechor at all on to my animals. Why? David only written it once, the Torah. Just say Peter Chamor one time. Remember, we've got a twice. We've got Peter Chamor. Basically, we've got it in Vayikra, in Shmot, and in Bamidbar, right? So if it's only written at once, have a what I've said, have a Peter Chamor. What is Peter Chamor? Davash Ya Bichlal. It's part of the general halacha of Bechor HaBehema HaTmeah Tivdeh. The Torah says Bechor Behema Behema, that there's of the Tmeah animals Tivdeh, and that's a klal. And Chamor Yatza Min HaKlal Lamed, and Chamor, that's a se, that the pigeon is by se, right? She pigeono b'se is a Yatza Min HaKlal, is an exception. Now we've got a rule. When there's a rule and an exception, there's a difference between a klal uprat to klal or klal uprat. Right? Or klal yatza min haklal lelamed. So here we've got a klal yatza min haklal lelamed. So here we've got a klal over here of behema temeya tivde. And sip. And normally, how do we do pidyon with money? Comes on the chamor, and it's an exception. They tell us chamor is only pidyon b'se. Now the klal is lo lelamed latzmo yatza. It's only coming to tell us on its own yatza that you do say with the chamor. That all behemoth tmeot would be done with a seh. That's if it was written once. Right? Ula olam. and lifting and a beset. That's our Bach's change. So if it was written once, we would have come to the other column, we would have said, not only is the chamor with a seh, but all behemoth tmei oto with a seh. Talmud lomar, mikra acher. Therefore, the Torah gave us a second pasuk, u'peter chamor tivde, lomar, lecha ze beseh, velo acher beseh. That's what it's about. So in other words, what he's telling us over here, Rav Achai, says that though you can't learn from the fact that it's written twice, that there's no pidyon. All you can learn over here is that the seh is only about a chamor. But the other behemot tmeiot, there is pidyon, just not a seh. Alright, look back in the Gemara. Having a devar she'ya b'chla v'tza b'na k'la l'med, l'med atzmo yatza, l'med l'akla k'lu yatza, ulo olam b'seh, everybody's with a seh. Therefore, kata rachmana petrechem chamor achrina, right? To tell us what? Petre chamorim b'seh. I'm adding in the seh there. V'lo petre susim u'gmalim. And not susim u'gmalim. So at the moment, what do we got? We've got a case where the second petre chamor just tells us that the seh is unique to chamor, but the gamal and the sus still need a pidyon of something else. Then we'd say that Moshe was Mema'et, meaning Moshe, meaning the Torah. Look at Rashi. Matinu Moshe, ululam b'chol davar u'kdoshim b'chor. Right? Ulam b'chol davar. In other words, they still got the din of b'chor. But just know what they say. So Gemara says, like this, that was of Achad's question. Gemara says, Im Kain, if that's the case. Lichtov Rachmana. So then, Mokitov. They lift a rachmana, peter chamor tivde b'seh, v'chamor tivde b'seh. So in other words, the second time that the pasuk's written, if it's just about that, then the first pasuk could have said, peter chamor tivde b'seh, and then the second pasuk would have said, v'chamor tivde b'seh. Why peter chamor tivde b'seh, peter chamor tivde b'seh, lamadi? Why do we need it mentioning both times, peter, peter? Look at Rashi. Im kai nikhtov kratinana, rat tanyana. Chamor beset tifte. The second time, which I just said, chamor beset tifte. Vani adana de peter kemishtai. We would have known that when I mentioned peter the first time, midahara katav peter, right? Because it repeats itself. Shma mina midin peter rechem emait lo. Talking about peter rechem. Leshar behemot tumeot. Dein lahem din bechora. So he says, basically, the fact that it says peter, if it's just written Peter once and then Chamor again, we would have known that the Peter applies to the Chor, to the Chamor. The fact that it says Peter Peter, right? So now the Gemara says, but Peter Pitre Chamor Mamartilach, Velo Pitre Susim Gemalim, comes all around circle and says no. The fact that it says Peter Peter tells us that it's Dafka Peter and not anything else. Okay, so now. So now, all this has been, up until now, explaining Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili was the one who said, if we go back to yesterday's Amud, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we've been discussing all the time, Rabbi Aglossi Arechmana Kedusha Guf, who I don't know, the Gamma Kedushavim Kedusha Guf, Tanidan HaBechor Bechor Ma'av, he said, Tanidan, right? Me bailek Rabbi Yossi Barchanina, Rabbi Yossi Barchanina, Laman Morin. Hold on 1 second. Then we went back. But our question was. Hold on 1 second. Let's find my place, yeah? Yeah. So the word on previous Amud about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines up, we said like this. יכול אפילו יש פה מקצת סימנייך, תמוד אמר אחלק, והתה לפטר פטר, וזה פרם, והוא דאמר כרבי יוסי הגלילי, שגלילי זה אך בכור שור, עד שיהיה הוא שור ובכור שור, בכור עצב, עד שיהיה הוא כסף ובכור כסף, אך בכור כסף, etc. So we discuss in there, פטר פטר בכור שור, all the way around here, so now we up to here, רבי יוסי הגלילי, now the girl says, והת ותה לדידן, סליחה? עכשיו, עכשיו. If Sharif Akrakas, do what I did, Vakasha? Vatanadidan, and now the Tan of our Mishnah, right, who learned, remember the Tan of our Mishnah, his reading, he came from, his old art was Petrich Amor, right? susim ugemali minale. So now we've just worked out how Rabbi Yossi Aglili learnt that we don't have susim and gemalim. But our Tanav, our Mishnah, who learnt from that Peter, right? So we just got Patrimonial. He said that it's Patru altogether. Shema Patru Chal Peter Shtei Pamim. I'm a bit confused here now. Mutei Susim Raminale. Anybody with me here? Okay, sorry, Mark, I'm with me. Our Tana used Peter for Chamor. Rabbi Yossi Aglili used Peter to prove camels and horses. So we've just busy been doing. So basically now the question is, where does he learn? Because he's already used Peter for Chamor. Right? So where does he learn Peter? Where does he learn a din of mi'ut of gemalim and susim and other ones? That's the most question, I think. Is that what you going to say, Michael?
Because the Tana says that the repetition is used to say that it applies both the mother and the...
That was our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was Parash yalda min chamor, v'chamor yalda min sus, termina b'chorish, deva peter chamor shnei pa'amim. That was the way our Mishnah, he used Peter for that, yes, it's Amud. But we never learned from there. That was when there was a Chamor and a Sus. The mother was a Chamor, the child was a Sus, or the mother was a Par and the child was a Chamor. But where do we learn if we've got Susim and Gemalim, like we've got a case over here? Right? Where's all the other non kosher animals that aren't Chayim Bechor come from? That's basically the Gemara's question. So Rapapa ko miknecha. Here we've got a pasuk over here. Bak says, ko peter rechem li, all the firstborns are mine. V'cho miknecha tizachar, and you have to remember all your flock. Peter shor vase, the shor and the se, the peter, the firstborn and the shor and the se. Then the pasuk says again, u peter chamor tivde vase. Etc. So now we've got again there, we've got Peter written Rechem Li of Shor and Se, and then Peter again of Chamor. It says like this. It says, Ko minachat izachar, Klal, we've got a Klal Uprat in the Pasuk. So this is where he learns it from, our Tana. He says, we've got a Klal Uprat. Klal, Shor Vase, V'chamor is the Prat. So we've got Klal, Shor Use, V'chamor. Sorry. So komik necha tizachar is klal. Sorry, komik necha. I'm not thinking this morning. Komik necha. All your flock is klal. Then we've got shor v'se v'chamor is prat. Then we've got again. So we've got a klal uprat. So now we've got klal uprat. So klal is the everything, the kol, is talking about everything, all your stock, and then the Torah narrows down to shor v'se v'chamor. So the klal uprat. So ein bichlal, now they go, what's the din of klal uprat? Ein bichlal, elama shebeprat. So therefore he says, the klal is kol miknachat tizachar, and how do you remember it with regards to the pidyon? And it's, but the klal is limited by the prat. And what's the prat? Shor, se v'chamor, in midiachin ilo. So he learns our Tana. Our Mishnah says, I've got Peter for my Chamor and my Para, like we spoke about. All other animals have a Klal Uprat. That the Klal tells me, I've got Pidyon for all animals, but there's a Prat, and the Prat is only Shor, Se, and Chamor. Therefore, I'm limited to Shor, Se, and Chamor. Anything else, no. Quite Pashut. So the question, okay, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Right, so how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili deal with it now? Because basically, he never used this Klal Uprat. He used Peter. Tell us no other animals. So how does he now deal with this Klal Uprat? He says simply, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what does he say? Peter if sika inyan. He says, no, you haven't got a Klal Uprat here. Why? Because the Klal would have been, if you look at the pasuk, would have been said, ko peter rechem li, that's the Klal. V'chomik nechat zachar, that's all the Klal part there. Then we would have said, peter shor v'se v'chamor. Then I would have said that I've got a Klal Uprat. But in the meantime, the pasuk didn't say that. The pasuk said, peter shor v'se. And then it said again, u peter chamor. So he says, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, right, Hifsik Hainyan, the fact that we've got that second Peter over there, that messed up the Klaluprat, and therefore there isn't a Klaluprat over here. So the next question, Rabbanan, how do they respond to that? How are they able to let Klaluprat if there's a Hefsek there of the Peter? So the Gemara says, Vav Hadar Arve Krat. We saw this the other day. We saw a similar limud like this, where the Torah excluded it, but then put a Vav in to bring it back in. Almost like a correction. Right? Look at Rashi there, Vav. I think that's good. Rav, Vav, the cut of the Peter. Hadar Arve Vahadre Akra Kama. Says that Vav, you're right, is a Peter, which is a Hefsek. It stops us, it's a break. But the Vav, the Peter, says, Daru, the Peter is a Hefsek. It's the Peter, which is Hadar Arve, it goes and joins the original Peter of the Kra. Why? The Vav, Musaf, and Yan Rishon, says Rashi. The Vav adds to the first Rishon. Okay. Right? How do Rabbi Yossi Aglili? So how does he deal with that? That we've got this vav, right? So what does Rabbi Aglili answer? Rabbi Aglili says, "What are you doing about the vav? Lo lichtov, lo vav, lo peter. If that was the case, the Torah wanted to include it. It would have known how to not write the peter and not have a need for the vav, right? The fact that it wrote a vav there, and but there is a peter there. But it was so partial, who left out the peter and the vav. So how does Rabbi Nan reply to that? Ran says no. The fact that there's a pesach, a psak there is important. Because the one, the shor and se is kedushat guf. The chamor is only kedushat damim, only got monetary value. The other Torah is telling us there are two different things. There's kedushat damim, which I want peter for. And kedushat guf, which I want peter for. And that's why the second peter. But the vav nonetheless brings me back into the klaluprat. See that? The Torah says there, Adi da hakdush adami vakdush avguf, pasik lehut. There is a psak, but nonetheless, vahadar ariv lehu. Look at Rashi, vahadar ariv lehu, lemeimar de le dainei bichlal uprat. That you must learn the tchaluprat. Okay, that's basically the malach there. So we can see, bottom line, we were concerned that maybe Rabbi Yossi Aglili wouldn't be able to, Chachamim wouldn't be able to learn Gamal, we're going to record for them as well. Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns it from Peter, they learn it from Klaluprat, and everybody can deal with each other's arguments, and we have the Gemara carries on. Ibaila, we've got a question now. Para sheyalde min chamor. So here we've got a cow that gives birth to a donkey looking object. Veyeshbo miktzat simanim. And it's got a bit of the simanim, right? What does it mean veyeshbo miktzat simanim? This is a question should we pretty remember, right? That's the first line of the Mishnah, Parash Yalda Min Chamor. And then we said in the Mishnah yesterday, on Hayward Bet, Parash Yalda Min Chamor, V'chamor Shalda Min Sus. Two Min Avachora, right? Achi Yolet Chamor V'hanolet Chamor. But we said the other day, hold on, we had a limud the other day, where we said if there was a Ktzat Siman of the mother, remember that? Anybody remember where that was? Where was it? We had a case where we said it's got katsatsi money. Okay, anyway, we learned the other day, I can't see it now, I'm trying to rush. We learned the other day that if it was with a cow and the thing, we said with a Rachel. We have the case of the Rachel, Sheyalda Ez, or Ez Sheyalda Rachel, Ad Sheyesh Siman, Ketzat Siman Shela Ime. Remember that?
Yeah, it was yesterday on the beginning of the Gemara.
The beginning of the Gemara?
Yes, that's how the Gemara starts off.
Okay, well, as long as you'll remember. Where's it, Michael? Where's it?
In the middle of Amud Bet yesterday.
Of Amud Bet.
Middle of the Amud.
After the Gemara?
Just, it's the beginning of the Gemara.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, Rachel here, Yeshialdim in Ezev, Yeshialdim in Rachel, Patrim in Bechora, Right. So now, this is similar to that. But yeah, there was a Rachel and an Ez, which were both kosher animals and both were chayvim din bechor. But they were some sort of kilam. But here we're talking about the same principle. The question is as follows. Parashi yalda min chamor. V'yesh bo miktzat simani. So mahu. Now what do we say? Do we say, the Gemara brings it right up now. Ez, do we say like this? Ez yalda min Rachel, Rachel yalda min Ez, d'chiyesh miktzat simani im chayvim bechor. There, do we say it's like the case of the Ez and the Rachel, that if they had a bit of siman, they were chayev, right? But do we say, no, that was why the hat tahora. The hat tahora, because both of them were kosher animals. And ha-kadush ha-guf, ha-kadush ha-guf, and they were both kadush ha-guf, they weren't kadush ha-damim. They were both proper, could be korbanot, right? And that's why they were chayev in Bechor, aval ha-chad, ha-tameyev, ha-tahora. But yeah, in our case, where the one is a kosher animal, the cow, and the chamor is a tamei animal, and ha'kush laguf, ha'kush davim, and even if in normal case a para is kush laguf, it's a korban animal, and a chamor is only kush davim, they're completely different. Lo, tuna mi chayim in bechor. That's the question. Or Dilma, kevan da adi va'adi b'nei mikdash. Since both of them, at the end of the day, have got kedusha in them, but bechor kadosh, they would be kadosh, would be chayim bechor, because both a chamor on its own is chayim in bechor, a para is chayim in bechor, is a din bechor of them. Therefore, this chamor in the para story would be kadosh. Now, Gemara's like this. If you want to take the second argument, which says yes, it would be chayv in chamor in bechor. Kevan de idi v'idi 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 mikdash v'bechora kadosh. They do have a kadosh of bechora. Then comes another question. Chamor sheyalde min sus mahu, a donkey who gives birth to an animal, sus type of animal, horse type of animal mahu. Now, hacha, do we say like this? Vadai lo bat mikdash b'chorahu. The sus is definitely not like a chamor. Therefore, definitely not a no b'chor, yeah? Or maybe not. Or deal me, kaiman de min temeyahu kadosh. Right? Maybe, since it's a chamor, and the chamor gave birth to a sus, and they're both, at the end of the day, temeim, and the Torah speaks about the tamei of the chamor, so maybe it would be kadosh. Right. So now the Gemara says now with this possibility goes into a third question, and im timtze lomar kevan demin temeya hu kadosh, since it's a temeya and therefore it falls into a broader category of the chamor of the donkey, and it is kadosh. Then we got a third question, a para sheyal demin sus. When we started off with a para chamor, then we went chamor sus. Now we're going to para sus. We skipped over the middle. Maybe with me, we've got para chamor, which seems to be quite simple. Then we went chamor sus, and now we're going parasus, because when the para gave to a chamor, they were both basically chayvim bechor. When the chamor gave sus, we said that maybe the sus was a behemoth tmei, a part of the chamor. Now we've got a para giving to a sus. Now we've got a real conclusion, concoction here, because a para is a kosher animal, not tmei. The sus is tmei. So now what do we do? All right. So now into the lomar kevan de min tmeiu kadosh. Then parish yal de min sus mahu. What would be the case of ya? Hacha vadai hai tahora v'ha tamaya. Right? Ha bat mikdash b'bechor v'ha lo bat mikdash b'bechor. We say they're completely different now. The cow is a tahora, is a kosher animal, and the cow's chayv in b'chor. The sus is not a kosher animal, not chayv in b'chor on its own, therefore it's out completely. Or deal, maybe not. Maybe simanin miltahi. Look at this. It's an interesting one. We haven't seen the question yet on siman milta. When we say something is milta, then it's important that it's got substance, it's got mashmud. What does it mean, siman milta? Look at Rashi, yeah? Ma milta chashuvihi. The afal gav de ishtane kulaha. Even though it's completely changed now. When it looked like a donkey from the cow, we thought it was okay. But this nonetheless, they've still got simanim here. Remember, we're talking all the time, we're talking about a case of where the child looks like the mother. That was our whole premise, was that Rachel and the Ez, right? The goat and the sheep, where they still had simanim, looked like the mother. Yeah, because this horse still has signs that resemble its mother, we say the signs are so strong, right? Milta chashuvihi, so important. Even though it's changed completely to the fact that now it looks like a horse, but it's a horse that still has some sort of characteristics of the cow. Mechai v'lei miktzat simani v'bechor. We would be chayv in bechora. That's the Gemara's question. Basically, from a parrot to chamor, from chamor to sus, from parrot to sus, we're saying that maybe the simani was so important would still work. The Gemara says on that. Toshma, let's try and answer this. Right? Bring a brighter. And the Brahman is very similar to what we learned on yesterday's Gemara. Behemoth to Horosh, Yaldamin, Behemoth to Maya. So you got a kosher animal that gave birth to a treif looking animal. Petorim in Abachora. He's part from the Bachor. That was our Mishnah yesterday. Said exactly, and ended off over there because it's where the mother and the child both being to Horosh, remember? But yeah, the writer adds on. So we see if it has got, even though it's a Tahora and a Tamea, if it's got some Simani, it's Chayv Bechor. So Gemara says, my love, filu para she'aldam in sus. Isn't that even extending as far as a para that gave a horse-looking animal? Gemara says, no. That's only limited to para she'aldam in chamor. That's what we say. Only if it looks like a chamor. Look at Rashi. Lo, a para she'aldam in chamor, umishum de tarvayu koche bechorot. Because there, the child has still, if it looks like a cow, like a donkey, has a din of bechor. So therefore, it would apply. Because like, let's try again. Toshma, parash yaldamin chamor. Another writer which says that a cow that gave birth to a donkey-looking animal, v'chamor yaldamin sus, p'tur b'nechor, and yeah, and a chamor which gave birth to a sus-looking animal, they're all patur. Ah, but im yesh wabik tzat simanim chav b'chora. So now it appears that, nonetheless, if there's a bit of simanim, then it is chayiv. Now we learned two halachas in this writer. We learned parash yaldah and chamor she'alda. So Gemara just assumes, my love atarvayu, isn't that issue that last line of imiyesh bo miktatsim, if they have got a bit of signs, then a chayim bechora, and if it's on atarvayu, then we just learn to have a din of a para, of a chamor that gave birth to a horse. Right? Which could help us with our question. So Gemara says, lo, a para she'alda min chamor, that only applies to the first line. So why did I learn that second line there, the halacha of a parrot giving birth to a horse-looking animal? Lipture pshita, right? Look at Rashi over here 1 second. Oh, I skipped in that. Yeah, my love, lo, a parrot she held him in chamor mishum the travayu kochay bechor. Aval chamor she held him in sus lemay hilchatek talach pshita. Ashmina, look at Rashi. Denid mehave. It looks similar to its mother, but upatru mina bechor. It's patru mina chora. Ki leit bei miktzat simanim. He hasn't got enough money. Mishum reishai ketani chamor shaldim min sus. Aval sefer lo ala mehadar. He says only the first line there of if it's got some simanim, it would be this. When it's been a horse type of animal, call it any simanim. And the word like it's v'hashto my para shaldim min chamor. What are we going to say over here now? My para, when a cow gives birth to a donkey looking animal, didi b'idi b'nei mikdash v'bechoridinu. Because they both have a din of bechor, what would we say? Right, Amart, im yesh bo miktzat simanim, in ve'ilo lo. We might say only if it has simanim, then it would depend. Right? Chamor she'alda min sus, mibayim, that's pashut. If we're limiting ourselves to a horse, sorry, to donkey, that's only chayv in b'chor, but even has simanim like its mother, then why would there be a question with regards to a horse? The word says there would be a question. Why? Itzrich. Kosal kedat hachamin, what would we think? Hatam who there with regards to the cow, the eshla karnai, but the cow has type of thorns, horns. Vaina karnai, the donkey hasn't got horns. Ha parasoteas dukot. The donkey has, the cow has split hooves. Va parasoteas klutot. And the donkey hasn't got split hooves. Avalhacha, the idi of idi ainla karnai. But yeah, when it comes to a donkey and a horse, they're similar. Neither of them have got horns. Idi of idi parasoteas, both of them, their hooves aren't split. Anyway, what would we say? Chamor adom ba'almu. We'd say, this is actually a donkey, this horse. It's the same as a donkey. This is a red donkey. Right? Kamashvila, no. Then we say, no. Even though it looks very similar to its mother in all the characteristics, it's still not, at the end of the day, din bechor. And therefore, Kamashvila, it wouldn't be a din of bechor. Okay, so the Gemara carries on. New line in the Mishnah. Umahen bachim, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. We said like this. We said, a parashal de min chamor, when a cow gave birth to a donkey, or a donkey to type of a horse, they're patron bechor, because they're petech chamor, petech chamor. Then we said, what about eating them? Right? Umahein ba'achila. Right? And when we said, umahein ba'achila, so Rashi said there, otan she'ein domin le'iman. If they've got no characteristics similar to their mother at all, are they kosher or aren't they kosher? You know, with odd chayim bechor, but if the mother was a chamor, a papara, sorry, and the child was a chamor, so maybe the child is a paris, looks like a chamor. So it will be pa'asu from din b'chor, but still a kosher animal. That was a question. And then the commissioner said, behemoth tahora she'aldik mi behemoth tamaya mutar b'chila. You're right. Utamesh al dekamin b'hem atahora asur b'achilah. Give us a klal, right? It said there that if the mother is a tahora, we can eat the child. If the mother's a tamei, we can't eat the child. And then the Mishnah said, and this is the klal, right? Shayotze min atamei tamei. Vayotze min atahor tahor. Whatever comes out of b'hem atamei is tamei. Whatever comes out of b'hem atahora is tahor. See how the Gemara asked the question over here. Lama li lemit di shayotze? Why did I leave that klal? What did klal teach me? I already learned the halacha. If the mother's a tahora, I can eat it. If the mother's a tamei, I can't eat it. Why did I have the klal? Whatever comes out of a tahor is tahor, comes out of a tamei is tamei. So the Gemara said, siman ba'almahu. It's a siman. De lo tichalef lach. You don't make mistakes. De lo taimeh. Then what could you say? Zil batrei didei v'hai tahor ma'alihu. Vahai tamei ma'alihu. Right? Look at Rabbeinu Gershom here at the bottom. Very last line of Rabbeinu Gershom. He says, the Lord tamei zil batrei didei. Don't say, the nolad, ihave min tahor, lihave tahor ma'alihu. The animal was born, if it looks like a tahor. So let's say a chamor gave birth to a para looking animal. You say, look, it's a perfectly good animal. That's what the Torah said, go after the mother. Look back in the Gemara. Go after the mother. Now the Gemara says, okay, but I don't mean, where do we get this from? That you go after the mother. The Pasuk says, Ach et ze lo tochelu. Mimalei gera, mimparsai parsa. The Pasuk there says, Ach et ze lo tochlu, sorry. These you can't eat. Mimalei gera, umifrasei parsa. Those from those animals that do either chew the cud or have split hooves. Etagamal, the camel, kimalei gerahu, ufarsa enenu, mafris tamei lochem. Because the camel does chew the cud but doesn't have cloven hooves. And the pasuk says ach etze, right? So it says ach etze lo tochlu mimalei gera umifrasei parsa. Yesh lecha shu malei gera, mafris parsa. There are those type of animals which do chew the cud or have split hooves. Viata ochlob, now that you still can't eat them. Vezo zes is the Gemara. Tahor shenolad minatamei. So you see that. The Pasuk says that, it talks about the camel which does only one of them. But the Gemara says no. There might be those which do both. But you still can't eat them. And what are they? A tahor shenolad minatamei. Or anulatamei. Maybe it's no. Maybe we're speaking over here about the tamei that's born from a tahor, which would be opposite to our Mishnah. Maybe even if it's a tamei, like a donkey-looking animal born from a cow, you can't eat it. And then what does it mean when it said, choose the cud and has split hooves? What's it, the Achik Amar? Davar haba mi malei hagera umi mafrisa parasa lo techol. Right? You might think that you can't eat anything. Davar haba lo krashi. Kagon hai tamei shnoi bin atahora. This donkey born from the cow. Maybe you think you can't eat that at all. The Gemara says, Tamud Omar gamal tameihu. The gamal is tamei. Look at Rashi there. V'stam gamalim noladim min hagamala. It's a gamal, a proper donkey, a camel born from a camel. V'katav hu. That's what it says, hu. Demash meshehu tamei. Ven achir shu gamal tamei. Ukagon shnoi bin atahora. Only the actual donkey born from a camel, born from a camel, if I met a camel or a non-kosher animal born from a tahora, would be good. Gamal, gamal, hu tamehu. V'ein tamei hanolad mina tahor. V'ein tamei hanolad mina tahor tamei. So like a donkey born from a cow is not tamei. So we see there that you can eat a donkey animal born from a kosher mother. The Gemara says, in a tahor. So who tamei? Ain tamei alav na tahor tamei, ella tahor. Right. That's it. Right. It is kosher. You can't eat it. It was like a Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon has a different limud. Rabbi Shimon says like this: gamal gamal shnei pa'amim. So he says. So is it all part of the same brighter? I think. The attention of the brighter. Turn Rabbanan. So the first Tana says et ze lo tochelu imale gera, and then Rabbi Shimon, I think the extension of the same writer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says only limud. He says gamal gamal shnei pa'amim. The Torah tells us twice, once in Vayikra and once in Devarim about the camel. Remember, there's a list of all the kosher animals twice, right? They're all listed twice. in the Torah. In Vayikra, we've got a list of all the kosher and treif animals. And then again in Dvarim. So he says, Gamal, Gamal, Shnei Pamim. Echad Gamal Rabi Na Gamala, Vechad Gamal Halulad Mina Para. Right, so he seems to imply what? That you can't even eat a Gamal that was born from a cow. Right? So the Gemara says now, well, it says the Machlok Leviyah. So Tanakhama says that you can eat a Gamal born from a para, from the limud of Mafrish Parsa. Rabbi Shimon says, no, makes no difference. Even a Gamal born from a cow, you can't eat, which is completely cholek on our Mishnah, which our Mishnah says, if the mother is a kosher mother, you can eat the child. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Right? So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbanan, how Gamal Gamal? So how does Rabbanan learn that Gamal Gamal? Because they said, it doesn't apply that. They said, no, Chad la'asur atzmo, v'chad le'sor chelvo. He says, no, we've got two separate isurim here. One is for it, and one is for its milk. Rashi says, le'sor chelvo shel gmala. Rabbi Shimon, le'sor chelvo minanis. Where does Rabbi Shimon learn le'sor chalav? Because he's got needs both Gamal Gamal to teach you that you can't even eat a Gamal born from a para. So where does he learn that you can't eat the milk of a para? He says, nafkele me'et ha-gamal. He's got et ha-gamal. Et ha-tafel gamal v'hanu chelvo. It says, the pasuk says, et ha-gamal. What does et ha-gamal mean? Et means also the milk. So Rabbanan, how what do they do that et? Rabbanan says, etim lo darshe. They don't darshe etim. Why don't they darshe etim? They don't learn etim at all. They ignore the etim. Why? Kedetanya shimuna amtsuni ayadresh kol et v'et shabbatorah. This is before, right? Remember this Gemara, this was Baba Kam, we saw the Enkidushin, we saw this a couple of times, right? Because remember we had the machloket there, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva used to darshan every et. Remember this? We had this great discussion over there. Says Aviyah, Rabbi Shimon amtsuni ayadresh kol et v'et shabbatorah. He learned every et in the Torah. Kevin she again, and he wrote the pasuk, which said, the pasuk Aviyah said, et Hashem lo kecha tira, v'oto ta'avod, uvishmo tishavah. So you've got to be fearful of your God and serve Him, and uvishmo tishavah. Right, it's that question like this. Le'et Hashem Elokecha tira piresh. When he got to the word et Hashem Elokecha, he said, you know what? I can't darshan the etim anymore. Because how can you darshan et Hashem Elokecha? What does et mean? It says le'et Hashem Elokecha should be something in addition to your Shem Hashem Elokecha. Right, look at Rashi over there. Piresh, the second narrow lines. Mikol drashot drash. He stopped them all. The whole etin ba'in rabot. Every et came to add something. V'zeh ein mal rabot. Boy, he said, what else? How can you fear your God and something else? What else can you fear? So therefore, he said, you know what? I'm in trouble. He left them all. Amulo talmidav. His talmidim said to him, Rebbe, chol etin shedarash de matalem. What's going to happen with all the other ones that you were doresh? So mainly, you don't want to doresh this one, et Hashem lokecha. What about all the others you learned in the whole Torah up until you go to this pasuk? He says, you know what? Amar lev kishev shekibalti sachar ala drisha, kach ani yekabel sachar ala prisha. He says, you're right. I got the sachar for doing the limud. Now Hashem will give me sachar for abandoning them all. And the Gemara says, Ad sheba Rabbi Akiva velimed, and Rabbi Akiva came and told us a big chidush aviyah. What's et Hashem lokecha tira lerabot talmidei chachamim? Rabbi Akiva says, don't worry, there is an et here you can darshan, because it includes talmidei chachamim. You got to have respect, fear for them, just like, well, not just like them, but also to them, like you would have Hashem. So there, Rabbi Chachamim weren't darshan it. Rabbi Akiva darshan it, but Chachamim weren't darshan it, they had a problem. So now the Gemara says like this, Amalei Rav Acha Barei Rav Rav Ashi, Ele Me'ata. So now, Taima de Rabbanan, Mi Gamal Gamal. Right, if we're up to the stage, Rabbanan say that we learn Gamal Gamal about the Chalav, that we don't drink the Chalav of the Gamal. Rabbi Shimon, Me'eta Gamal. Rabbi Shimon said we don't eat them, drink the milk of the Gamal, because it says Eta Gamal. Ha'alav Hachi. See, we never had these two limudim of Gamal Gamal, Etlama, or Gamal. Right? Hava amina chalav de behema temaya shari. Without these two doing, what we have concluded? We would have concluded that chalav of a behema temaya, of a non kosher animal, is actually mutar. But we've learned the gamal gamal or eta gamal, and here we've got a limud. So now he says, but you've got a kashya. Because mashna mehai de tanya. Why do we need these limudim? What's any different from what we learned already, right? We've seen this Gemara before as well. Where's the Gemara from? From Chulin. Ah, okay. From Chulin. There we are. Thought it was familiar. Kuf Yud Bet, right? Recently in Chulin, a couple of weeks ago. Right? We said, Hatameim. The Pasuk said, Hatameim. Right? Look at Rashi. The Eile Hatmeim Lachem B'chol Hashretz. Right? These are what are Tamet Yum. All those that are crawls, creepers, the Shratzim. And we've got there Hayatayra. Hatmeim is because it's Tmeim. So why did it say Hatmeim? So remember this. Tziran, it's gravy. Verotvan, and it's not the tziris, actually the liquid that comes out of it. Rashi says it's Tziran Shumana Dag, like the oils of the dag, the juices. Verotvan, and it's gravy. The kippah. Remember kippah, we had it around the pot. Kippah, Rashi says here, risuke basa, like the chopped up pieces of meat, the kaputot shebishle kedaira, that like thick gravy with the pieces of meat here that's sticking around the top of the pot. All those things, shelahin, of this sheretz. So why would the milk be different to the tzir? So Moshe says, it's itzrich. It would be mutar. Why would it be mutar? Why do we still, what's the chidush? When it comes to blood, I mean to milk, sorry. Milk is a chidush even from a kosher animal that we can eat, drink its milk. Why? The Amar Mar, right? The Gemara says here, Amar Mar. This is actually a Mishnah in Rabbi Meir, in Masechet Nida, brought in Rabbi Meir. We're talking there about the fact that a woman, while she's after birth, for the first 2 years or so, doesn't necessarily see her menstrual cycles. And the Gemara concludes, why doesn't she bleed? Because the blood in her body, the dead blood, is being used, instead of going to the uterus and coming out, is going to make milk. So we see that blood is actually the source of milk, according to that opinion. Not only that, blood, all bloods. Blood is a rule, that's just the example there. But blood is what's used to make milk. The Gemara says that, Amar Mar, Dam Necha V'Nasei Chalav. Now, Kevan the Chidushu, Bebehemet Tmeya Nami Nishtari. So since it's such a Chidush, that we can eat milk, that we can drink milk, because milk comes from blood, so we'd say, since it's so much of a Chidush, we would never have thought this, it's a Chidush across the board. Therefore, why only in kosher animals, in treif animals as well? Right, Kamash Milan. Therefore, we have to have our Palimud, which tells us that no, you can't have the blood of a treif animal. Right, and that's why we had to have this Limud of Gamal Gamal or Gamal Et, and we couldn't rely on the Hatmeah for the Tzir and the Rotem and the Kippah. Too much of a Chirush. Okay, that's beautiful. That only works well according to that side of the Machlok, the Rimei, who says that the source of milk comes from blood. But if you're going to tell me that the Eleman Damar Ivrei mit Parkin Hemen of Ein Nafsha Choser Tarei Adashim Rabbe Chodesh, but there's another daya in Masechet Nida, that the reason why a woman doesn't have blood during the first 2 years of she had a baby, it's got nothing to do with the fact that the blood's got to serve the milk. It's rather because of Ivrei mit Parkin, Machmat Lai, because of the birth, the body, the trauma of the body is so bad, so great. Ein Nafsha, Ein Dama Choser Alea Adashim Rabbe Chodesh Rashi. The blood doesn't return to that part of the womb. Ulafichach menika eroi dam nida. And that's why she doesn't see blood. V'lav mishum the dam nasei chalav. Not because of the blood is the source of the milk. V'hashta kamen delo machmat dam ka'atei lav chidushu. So that's only a chidush if you say it's because of the blood. But the machloket there nida who says, no, there's got nothing to do with it. She doesn't see blood while she's breastfeeding because of the fact that her body's traumatized. And therefore, that's no makor at all for blood being the source of the milk. So therefore, the chirush over here, that blood is so good and such a chirush, therefore even a tamaya we might have thought could have the blood. So then, Mike, how are you going to explain now why we need a separate limud and we can't rely on that pasuk there of hatmeim? What's no, still itchuk, still need a why. Is that clear what I just said, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Itchuk, we still need a why. Sarach, I mean, what would we have thought? Hoyel, v'leika midi da'atim mimichai, v'shari rachmana. Would have thought that since there's nothing that the Torah allows us to take from a chai and use, v'hai chalav ki ever min achayu. We would have thought the massive chirush over here, that milk is like ever min achay. And suddenly it's shari. So if it's such a big chirush as well, hilchach afilu behemet tamayin ishtari. We would have thought as well, it's such a chirush as well, it's like ever min achay, it's also mutar with regard to tamaya, kamash v'lan, and it's not at all, and we need that chirush. So the Gemara says, okay, beautiful. Chalav de behemet tahora minal de shari. So now where's the makor? Even now they have it. So you persuade me it's a massive chiddush. Where's the makor? Now the Gemara like, either be the asar achmana basar v'chalav. Maybe you gonna tell me because the Torah said, look, you can't have basar v'chalav. So obviously, if you can't have basar v'chalav together, then halachur shari. It must be that it's mutar on its own. Otherwise, where's the issur of not having together? Because another, not necessarily so. asur ba'achil umutar ba'hana'a, basur b'chalav ba'hana'a asur. Maybe not. Maybe chalav's always asur to eat. But you're going to get hana'a from it. You can feed it to your dogs, or you could use it for, I don't know, for burning, whatever, doing something with it, making, manufacturing, or selling. But basar v'chalav, you can't even get hana'a from it. That's what they want to tell us. So we can't really prove from the fact that you can eat, that's asur, that the derivative is in its muta. Right? You with me? So that can't be. So Gemara says, and Rabbi Shimon d'shari b'hana'a. Now this is wild, eh? We'll see later on. I think Gemara brings it up from a few daf later on. On daf yud, we're going to see that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that basar v'chalav, you even allowed hana'a from it. Right? So there the Gemara wanted to say that maybe basar v'chalav, you allowed hana'a. Basar v'chalav, you allowed hana'a. So Gemara says, wait a second, but Rabbi Shimon says, you allowed hana'a. So what's he got the issue for? Mishkachad la, the milk cow b'shulah. You know why? He'll tell you there that even if you get hana'a from it, from basar v'chalav, if you cook it together, you're going to get malkot. Okay, so now we haven't got a proof yet of where we can use, where we're going to eat challah from. Because, okay, maybe Elamid de Gala Rachmana, the Psulin HaMukdashim, where the Torah tells us over here, when it comes to Psulin HaMukdashim, Tizbach, right, like a Bechor, for example, Tizbach v'lo Giza, you can cook, you can bring it as a korban. Look at Rashi there. Tizbach, Rak Bechor Avat Nefshecha Tizbach, you got to bring it as a korban. V'achalte basar v'psuli ha-mukdashin, you can eat it. L'achar pidyono ha-klim n'aber, right? V'lo gizeh, you can't shear its wool. Basar v'lo chalav, you can have its milk, but not its meat. Ha, the chulin shari. So with a kochin, that's psulin, there's a limitation on using its milk. But b'chulin, you gotta use its milk. And that's the makor for being able to use milk. Whereas, no, you can't say that either. Why? Aimed the chulin asur b'achidah v'shari b'ana. Maybe again, a chulin, you can just have hana'a, you can't even eat it. The kochim bahana'a asur b'ana. The kochim even is asur bahana'a. So we've never got a makor yet. Where, how do we know we can eat milk? And this is the Gemara Mi'chtiv, V'day chalev izim lachmacha lechem betecha v'chayim lecha. Pasuk there brings a pasuk over here, right? A bit of an obscure pasuk in Mishlei, which says that there'll be enough goat's milk lachmacha lechem betecha v'chayim for all you to eat and to drink, it's for your family. So Gemara said, therefore it seems to apply there in Mishlei, obviously you can eat the milk if it's enough milk for you to use. Gemara said, no. V'diyom l'schora, and it's just about trading. You can use the milk to sell and love dafka to eat it. So Gemara said, ela midichtiv et aseret charitzei hachalav. Brings another pasuk over there. And that pasuk there says, et aseret charitzei hachalav, ha'ele tabi l'sar ha'elef. There's a whole story there in Shmuel about David. If you look, there's an old. Okay, let's we should learn later. Maybe they obviously was bringing it for them to eat. So we're dealing with the schorah. Maybe only for schorah. The guy said, "What? Atu darkas shel milchama le schorah during war. You're going to bring stuff for trading. Obviously, it was to feed them." The guy says, "You know what? Maybe he has a makor. Eretz avat chalav. We've actually told the land flowing with milk and honey. V'id lo shari. If you weren't able to eat it." What? Mishtabach, lan, krab, emidid lo chazu. The Torah gives us a pasuk of something which you can do, which to get mishtabach is praising it, but you aren't able to use it. So obviously, you are able to eat the milk. By the way, if you want to say from here, yeah, another makor, lechu shivru vechlu, lechu shivru belo kesef belo mechir yayin vechelev. Okay, another course. Okay, the course is edemiata. Okay, so basically, we brought a couple of psukim here to prove that you can eat chalav. So like this. Now that we've proven this whole story up here, and we've got Gamal written twice, and we've got we saw there that the pasuk, the first Torah in Shmot lists Gamal, and then in Dvarim lists it all again, and we've learned there that the reasons why we brought them were either for Gamal, whatever the case we'd like to. So it's like Shafan, Arnevet, Chazir, Torah mentions there as well, Shafan. And Arnavot, different types of rabbits, and Chazir, what Lahani Hudatu. They also came to teach us the same thing. It was Elich Tanna. Why do we need them repeated? Lama Nishlu Behema, right? Elich Tan. Learn it right like this. Lama Nishlu Behema. Why do we repeat Behema? Mipnei HaShesua. This teaches the Chirush. What's the Chirush of Shesua? Look at Rashi. Lama Nishlu Behema Tmaim Utohorim. Why do we mention all these kosher trap animals? Mipnei HaShesua. Beria sheyesh la shnei gabin u shnei shter. The type of animal that's got two backs and two spinal cords. Isn't mentioned in Vayikra. There it's only mentioned the Shesua in Devarim. Ubofot, and why do we mention there that the all the kosher and trait birds again? Bibne Hara'a, also type of a bird. And Gamal Gamal Nami Lachudata. That's why we bring the Gamal as well. It's like a kolechid ikan midrash dashinat. But we got a cloud that tells you, if you bring something with something like this, you got to be dashing it. Right? Rachel Shialdamin is. Rabbi Shimon says, no. You know, I think that's enough over here because we've got to go to shul.